Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, space mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and throw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, a lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food.
Crack of dawn, trucks gassed and loaded, collars charged and the GPS coded. Hounds, hounds in the box, tail starting to thump. They know that ridge, they feel that jump. Bear sign fresh on the mountain trail, you can smell the storm in the cool thin gale. Let them loose and watch them fly, that deep bay rings knit the open sky. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred, chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Through rock ravine and pine so tall, I trust them hounds. When the big ones fall, they run with fire, they run with pride, with grit and heart. I can't deny it ain't for fame, it ain't for show. It's the wild calling, and I go. Hit dirt where the claw marks stay. Old boar's moving and he won't play. Young dog's learning, old dog leads. Running with purpose, not just speed. Treetops shaking and the chase gets tight. You thank the Lord when they tree it right. One long howl from your cold-nosed crew, you know they earned it every boot step too. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred, chasing thunder where the brave don't tread. Through rock ravine and pine so tall, I trust them hounds when the big ones fall. They run with fire, they run with pride, with grit and heart. I can't deny it ain't for fame, it ain't for show. It's the wild calling, and I go. Folks don't get it, but that's all right. It ain't their soul that howls at night. It's generations in each stride, and I'll pass it down with hounds at sight. I'm a bear hound man, born and bred, carving legends where few have led. Brush and snow, through heat and rain, that old bear trail runs in my veins. So here's to the pack who run the sound, standing firm when the bear turns round. We live out loud, we live full grown in the high wild woods. Home. Yeah, we're home, where the black bear runs and the hound dogs roam. I'm a bear hound man.
And I know we're recording on a, you're going to hear this on a Wednesday, but today is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the wonderful dads out there. I hope you're getting to enjoy your Sunday. So welcome back to another What's Up Wednesday, where we get all our canine training know-how. We're going to go over a really good topic today, which popped up on social media And I got to reading the comments, and I'm going to just tell you about my experience with it. But first, we're going to follow up from last week's episode. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we actually got to chit-chat. We had Eric on last week from Sweden, and we went over some of the different styles, you know, between the Leicas. And we've had, you know, we've had several guys with Leicas on. So it's just a different style, just a different way of doing things. You know, instead of using a crescent wrench, you're using a regular wrench or a socket. Like, it's just a different tool for the same purpose. So that's kind of how you got to look at it. And we look at things like that in our, you know, our canine world too. You know, what tool fits best. So just, you know, roll with it. But stuff that we didn't talk about on that podcast was, you know, they have different kennel laws than what we have. And they use different dog boxes. Eric sent me a video of his dog box, and it's kind of like a cab over, but it's got separate boxes inside a big box. And I mean, it was actually a pretty neat looking outfit. So there's a lot of things, you know, different countries, different cultures, different styles, like anything like that. I like to draw from and learn from. And then look at it, like, is it something that I could use? Is it something practical to the way I hunt or the way I do things? And if it is, then, you know, I always talk about it being a buffet, right? Anytime you can learn something, doesn't mean you like it, doesn't mean that you completely understand it. I've said this before, you know, with our Dutch guys, I went to three of their classes and trainings and thought to myself, before the fourth time I went, those three, I'm like, this is stupid. Why are they doing things this way? Because it wasn't the way that I was taught. And I was pretty cemented in the way I do things. But the fourth time I went, the light come on. It was like, okay. But what really, really changed my mind with them is when they were doing their introduction to the class that I was in, and this was at a canine seminar, and they started talking about their experience. I mean, one of them had been in the canine world, you know, 30 plus years. Another one was pushing 40, and, you know, they're the main trainers for the whole province that they're in. And I'm like, okay, so these guys got 40 years experience, and what they're doing must be working because they continue to do it. And watching videos of their dogs work, how intense they were, you know, how just honed in their responses when the handlers gave commands, like, it started to change my perspective. And anyway, it was kind of like the aha moment, you know, the light switch come on and I'm like, I think I can start using that. I'm going to start using that. And I have taken away a lot of the stuff that they have taught. It's made me a better handler and a better trainer. So, patience is one of those things. And we talk about that all the time, but yeah, just because it's somewhere different, something that we don't particularly use, like, use it as a buffet. Take what you like, pick it out, you know, kind of put it over here in your toolbox. And when you need it, you get it out and you use it, or you start and apply it. But being able to understand the principles behind that technique or that training, the way that training style will help you implement that with less headache. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So, Autumn Oaks, we talked about that last time we were on. I'm going to be up Thursday. They've changed the bench show around. And I think myself and Scarlett are going to be judging Thursday. And I am super excited to be able to do that. I hadn't planned on going to Autumn Oaks this year, but now we are. So if you guys are going to be up that way, I think it's August 28th is the day that I'll be up there, the 28th, 29th, a little bit for the 29th. Hopefully I get to see a bunch of you guys. If not, come say hi. But Trevor and Alan put out a podcast. Danielle was on it last week or week before last. Not sure. But they kind of talked about, you know, Danielle's becoming one of the go-tos there with the bench show stuff. And I'm telling you, she sent me a questionnaire, and I'm like, that's pretty in-depth. Like, you really want to get to know somebody, like what their thought process is and, you know, their experience. Like, I was impressed with the questions and the way that they, like, you really had to think about what you were, how you were answering that question. So I was pretty impressed with that. But they put out a podcast talking about all the changes and the stuff that was going on the Thursday hunt. So, like I said, we're good with that. Last couple weeks, you know, guys, I got put back on the road for the summertime to fill in because we've got one of our supervisors is out. So my schedule's been completely jacked up. When I say jacked up, I mean it's jacked up. So some of the days off that I'm off, it's raining because that's what happens. It rains every day that I'm off. But I've been trying to fill in with fishing as much as I can. I have had the dogs out a couple times. We can talk about that very briefly. But, man, the muskies are giving me a fit. Like, I can't tell you how many follows I've had. I get them into the eight, can't get them to eat. And then I start bass fishing. And, man, we've been pouring it on some bass. And I know for our fishery, the New River, and I've talked about it before, you know, you catch a 16, 18-inch bass, like, that's a really good fish for us. I don't know if I told you, Memorial Day weekend, me and my buddy went, and we caught close to 100 fish that day. And we took a lunch break. We went in and ate supper. And so we didn't fish all day, but we did fish all day. And we caught a ton of fish. We didn't get anything over 17 and a half that day. But last week he caught his PR, got him a 19, and he got an 18 and a half. Like, or no, it was an 18. 18, and he caught a 17, an 18, and a 19 that day. So he was stoked. But that's a good fish for us. And, you know, you get up in that 18 and 19 range, like, you know, it's good. But the other day, let's see, that was Monday. I can't remember. Anyway, the next day I went, and me and Randy went, and Randy caught 18 and a half, and I caught 18 and three quarter, like some real, and I mean, we were catching like a lot of 16s. And I mean, when I say 16 inch, like fats, like fat, like put up a really good fight, healthy fish. It just makes the fishery look good. And it's promising that it's holding fish of that quality. Like I said, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago or so, you weren't catching as many of that size. You were catching the 10s and the 12s in that range. And we're still catching a lot of 10s and 12s. But the 16s, the 17s, the 18s, the 19s, like, you know, I've caught several 19s this year. Yeah, several 19, 19 and a half. I can't break at 20. I'm trying to get that citation 20. And it's just not happening. But while I'm bass fishing, so Monday, it was Monday evening, me and old Gumpster went, and we just had a couple hours to fish. So musky fished for about an hour right before dark, hoping to get one to hook up, but it just didn't happen. But while I was bass fishing with a little old bitty Ned rig, anybody fish with a Ned rig, you know, it's like a 3-inch Elastatech. Man, you can catch a ton of fish off those things. So I hooked a muskie about a 40 inch and got him up towards the boat. You could see the hook was just, it was hooked right in his upper lip. And I got him in. When he see the boat, he'd turn and run downriver. And I'm yelling at Nelson, get the net. And so he's scrambling around to get the net. He gets his fishing pole hung up in the net. Only Nelson could do this. Finally gets it unhung. I get the fish back up. Now, I'm running 15-pound braid with an 8-pound leader. Okay, so I'm basically running an 8-pound test. So I get the fish back up. Well, it sees the boat again, and it takes off. That's the second time. So I literally unlock my trolling motor and I'm floating with the fish trying to keep up with, because he's in a little bit of a current and I know that I can't fight him. I mean, this 40-pound fish is or 40-inch fish is probably 15, could be 18 pounds. So I float down, I hit the spot lock, I turn him and get him back up to the boat. I mean, when I say to the boat, I mean probably 5, 6, 8 foot out. He sees the boat again, and this time he takes off. And I mean, he's like spinning my drag, like bzzz, like it's going. And I reach down to try to loosen it just a tad. And he gets, I don't know how far he gets downriver, but snap. Oh, y'all could probably hear me squall from where I was at on the river. So then that was Monday, Tuesday. So Friday, musky fished, and I had one come up and yank a spinnerbait, did not hook up. I think when I saw it the second time, I think it was a smaller fish, but he knocked the spinnerbait pretty good. Fished for him for a little bit, couldn't do nothing with him. So we went on to bass fishing. Well, Randy was bass fishing the whole time, but anyway, so it got up pretty warm that day and I started bass fishing. Caught a couple nice bass. We moved out of one location, went to another location, started catching some more bass. Here we go again. I feel like I'm hung up and I start just pulling. I was like, well, my rod's moving. And about that time I see him flash. And I'm like, Randy, get the net. It's a muskie. So get him going. And literally the fish turns and comes towards the boat with his mouth wide open, like wide open. And he's shaking. Like, it's hard to explain, but he was just kind of rolling back and forth, shaking. And he gets right up within 6 or 8 foot of the boat and boop, spits it right out. And it didn't do any good. So I'm like, come on, man. Like, this year has been horrible for me. And I've catch a pile of bass and I'm catching some nice bass, but you know, I wanna land that muskie. Like, last year was horrible. I only landed two last year. And normally I'm in the 5 or 6 range, which is not great for the amount of fish that I see. Like, I see a lot of muskie. In fact, I went on fishing after that one and seen another, I don't know, 32 inch laying up in a shallow. And he had been hooked before because I could see where the skin was tore on his jaw. So somebody had hooked him up before. But I'm like, man, like, for me to love this as much as I love it and invest as much time and money into what I do for musky fishing, I suck at it. And it's getting disheartening. Like, I don't know what to do differently. Man, I'm just not holding my mouth right. I don't know what's going on. But they are giving me an absolute fit. And I know that I fish in some areas that are very high pressured for musky. Like, a lot of people are fishing for them daily. They see a lot of the same baits over and over and over. I get that. You know, I'm a learner, so I'm studying and trying to figure out things to do a little differently to get the bite. And it's just not working. Like, it's just not working. So I don't know, but I suck at it. And it's very disheartening. But it is what it is. I'm going to go back after it. I'm off Wednesday. Yeah, the day that this drops. When you're listening to this, I'm probably going to be on the water. So wish me luck. Let's move over to a little bit of dog training. All right. So this episode, this talk is going to revolve around a social media question. And it was our good friend Les Bolin had sent out about his dog pulling at the tree and he thought he was going to harm his throat. So a lot of people commented on a harness, you know, put him in a harness. And I had commented, I think Fielder had posted on there that you could use a prong collar, a pinch collar, whatever you want to call it. And I'm just going to give you my experience and what I have been taught and told about each one of these tools, because they're all tools, and use it how you want to. Like I said, you know, you don't see a lot of hounds in harnesses. Unless they're a rescue and somebody's leading it down the road. And when they do, it makes me sick because if you can't lead your dog, you got to have a harness on to lead them. Then you need to go back and do some more foundation work. And that's my belief, period. You're not going to convince me otherwise. And I use a harness daily, okay? I use a harness daily on my police dog. But I'm going to tell you why and how. So I started doing a little research just to make sure that I got both sides of the field, right? Because, you know, I do know a lot about this, but I don't want to talk without knowing the other side of the other perspective about it. But here you go. So I just Googled the purpose of a harness, okay? And in my mind, I know what it's for, but I wanted to get like a true definition. And it says it reduces tension on the neck when they pull. It provides free breathing during daily walks, which I completely disagree with. In sports such as mushing, where the dog is pulling power is utilized, the harness provides an effective use of force while maintaining freedom of movement. Okay, use of force while maintaining freedom of movement. So I replied back to that comment, and my suggestion was at the time, and I've also changed that since I've been thinking about it, is Fielder had said, just get, you know, carry a prong or just get a prong collar, carry it and put it on at the tree. Because what happened is the dog was lunging so hard at the tree, Les thought that it was actually going to hurt the dog. Okay. So let's just break this down. All right. If the dog's pulling so hard at the tree that he's going to hurt himself, then all right. So how do we combat this? How do we get it to the point where we don't think it's a safety issue? Because that's a safety issue, right? Well, one of the things we do in the canine world, and I do see some hound guys using the thicker collars. I use the 1-inch collars. That's what I put on my dog. But they also have the 2-inch wide collars, the double width ones. And that's one of the things we do in the canine world is we put a wider 2-inch collar on the dog to help cut down on that pressure on the throat area. Okay. So that's one option. If you want to put the prong collar on the dog, which like I said, that was my first response. You can just put it in your pocket when you get to the tree and tie the dog up. You can put the prong collar on him and tie him up. It'll hold him back a little bit. And then when you get ready to turn him loose again, you can do that. Somebody else said, just put a harness on him and let him wear the harness. I would advise against that because the terrain, the speed at which those dogs travel through the woods and it getting hung up on something, the chances are very likely. So I would not recommend that. I'm not saying that you couldn't, but for me, just looking at the safety side of it, no. Now, when I got to the tree, grabbing it out of my pocket and putting it on the dog, okay, it's possible. I mean, it's very doable and would probably work. Choke collars are completely out of the question. No, no, and no. I would start with a flat collar, and then I would work myself up from there. But one of the things I think I would do is I would short tie the dog too. That way he couldn't run and lunge. He's only got, you know, if you wrap that lead up, you know, tight around a tree or you short lead him, you know, he don't have the amount of movement. So you're kind of limiting that movement and that pressure against him. So that would be another thing. So let's go to the harness. Okay. All right. I use the harness every day in my work. And the reason I use my dog has a harness, when I put him in the car in the morning, I've got a harness that goes on him and it stays on him until I get him out in the evening. It's the last thing I take off of him. He jumps out of the car and goes, gets his pen. So you're like, okay, Heath, why are you against the harness if you're using the harness? Because the harness has a purpose and it said it right here. You know, it maintains freedom while movement. So when you put a harness on, and when I see people walking their dogs in harnesses, basically you're telling the dog, move forward, move, go. That's it. It puts the dog in drive, okay, because it gives them that freedom. There's very little control in my mind with a harness. So I use my harness when I'm tracking, when I've got the dog, when I need to jump out and put the tracking lead on him and we go, the harness is on him. I snap him right above his shoulder blades, and it puts all the pressure up into his chest area, down underneath his front legs, armpits, you say, and then comes up, and it allows the dog to move freely, and it puts the dog in a forward motion. When I'm doing bite work, when we do training with our dogs in apprehension, we want them moving forward. We put them in a harness and we back tie them. And that allows the dog to lunge forward with free movement. I see a lot of, you know, you can look at the harnesses. And like I said, when I was researching this, a lot of your dog trainers were saying get the front clip harness, which means you clip them up front in front of their, you know, their chest. And basically that what happens is when the dog moves forward and past you, it turns the dog sideways so he can't go. Like I said, I'm not a fan of it. It's not something I'm going to use particularly. Like I said, I like to see when people are walking their dogs and I see somebody on a lead and a collar, I'm like, okay, they got it under control. When people are doing the harnesses and the muzzle harnesses that goes over their muzzle, that makes me cringe. Like, no. Do your homework, do your job, and train the dog properly. So harness, that was one thing. I use it for tracking. I use it for apprehension work. It also allows me to move my dog when that's necessary, putting him over fences, you know, putting him into a backyard, moving him over things. It allows me to pick him up, boom, set him down, and get to work. I had a guy in a barn that had run stolen vehicle, got in a barn, and he got up on top of the hay bales. So I was able to throw Pino up on top of the hay bales with the harness, boom, put the lead on him, and he searched out the hay bales and actually found the guy down. He had sunk in between two round bales. Pino went down in there with him. So I was able to get up on the hay bales and literally like propel, but I pulled Pino back up with a harness to get him out of there. So the harness for me serves a lot of purposes, but it's not for leading the dog. When I'm out doing dope work, which means detection, or I'm out article searches, my dog's on the flat collar, and I do have a 2-inch flat collar on him. Okay. Or mine's an inch and a half, not two, but mine's an inch and a half. So when I'm working him, otherwise I'm working him in a flat collar. There has been times throughout my career that I've not had a harness on him, and that's one of, you know, learning things. So that's why I pretty much, when I put him in the car, the harness goes on. Now I've jumped out of the car, took off after somebody with nothing but a flat collar on. And is it my dog knows to track, but what I do when that happens, I learned this from the Dutch guys. Okay, here we go. Is I run the lead up underneath his front shoulder to slow him down a little bit. That way he's not pulling so hard. And when he is pulling, he's pulling down and not up into his esophagus. So there are other things that we can do to help our dog. So back to Les's thing. The dog was pulling. He's afraid he's going to hurt his throat. The first thing I would do is I would double the size of his flat collar. I would short tie him and see if that made a difference. Because we definitely don't want the vocal cords, you know, if the dog's got a good mouth, we don't want the vocal cords and stuff being damaged or harmed or whatever. My last resort would be to buy a cheap harness to put on him at the tree, only at the tree. And as soon as I got away, as soon as that tree was over, that thing would come right back off. I would not keep it on him. And that would be a last resort. But I would go through a couple other succession plans before I went to that. I would not let the dog run in the woods with the harness on. I don't want it, you know, they can run sticks and stobs up in them anyway. If you've hunted dogs long enough, you've had that happen. I definitely don't want that catching, you know, going through a fence. When I was running my old Brandy female, and I bought one of the neoprene vests that you use on labs for swimming. And what happened is she'd had a litter of puppies, and she, you know, her bag was still hanging pretty good. So I put it on her to keep it tucked up underneath her while I was hunting her. So the same thing with the harness. You go through a barbed wire fence or something, it catches, it pulls. I just don't think for safety purposes that I would do that. But there are other options out there. Again, short tying them where they can't, you know, the lunging is not as prevalent. Flat collar, using a double wide collar, that would be something else. And it's, again, it's hard when that dog's in prey drive, which he is at that point. Like, you know, his sensitivity to correction is going to be a lot strong. Like, it's not going to be there. Like, you're going to have to use extra amount of it to get it back. But there's where some of that capping that drive too could help in that sense where, you know, it's kind of like you put a fence up, all right? You put a fence up and the dog's not allowed to go past the fence, but the game is on the other side of the fence. And the dog learns that I can stand here and bark all day long. I just can't pass that threshold. And you could do some training like that too. But a lot of people don't want to put that time and effort into it because it is time consuming. And I mean, you'd have to set up strategic training sessions for that. And if the dog's a little bit older, it's going to take a little longer. So you could do that as puppies. Yeah. So there's several different ways to handle that and do that. And like I said, I rethought my position on that after I responded, because I did say that you could take a prong collar, but I would stay away from that. If the prong collar is definitely going to prevent him from doing it, but how much damage is he going to do while he's learning that I can't do this, right? So I would have to go back and use the prong collar in a controlled environment, and the dog learns that, hey, pressure on, pressure off, right? So if I lean forward, I got a little pressure. I'll get back out of it. The pressure goes away. So you would have to do some fundamental training before you took it out in the woods and done that, because I feel like to just jump right into the prong is going to cause some damage because the dog don't understand it at that point. And plus he's in prey drive, so his pain tolerance and sensitivity is pretty much through the roof. So you do your foundation work, then it's possible. And I, you know, for me being a trainer, if I was doing that, I would be standing. And if I was to use a prong collar, I would be standing there with the lead in my hand. Okay. That way my arm can be the bungee cord and not hurt the dog. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, I can control the pressure. And that means if I need to take a couple steps up, I can take a couple steps up, and I can limit how much pressure is applied. So that was just my two cents. Like I said, I'm not a, for the regular people that's just using harnesses to lead their dogs and whatever, I'm not a fan. Do it the right way. Learn it the right way. Harnesses to make the dog go forward. That's what it says when I read the definition. It is forward motion or freedom, and there's a purpose for it, and I don't believe in using it for leading. So tracking, when the dog's in tracking mode and I need him to move forward without very little limitation from me, then I'm all about it. I like it when I need to pick my dog up and throw him over a fence, or put him up in a loft, or put him up in an attic. I like my harness. But that's the only time I use it. I don't use it for anything else. So, hope you guys have a great day, and thank you for listening to What's Up Wednesday.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kid will outgrow tomorrow. and he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.